calling Julia Childs. It's like a different voice every single time. Well, obviously by now you know that that was Katie.
Hi.
And I'm Annie, and welcome back to Well Read Yet Ill Fed.
Yes, episode 6.
Okay, I didn't even know that.
I know. Can you believe, like, it's already been 6 episodes? Well, this is the 6th. And we have read 440 pages of 50 Shades of Grey already.
How long is the book?
It's like 500 pages.
We're almost done?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a long book.
Why?
I don't know. That's just how many pages she felt like writing. Anyway.
Okay. I was just hoping there'd be more, like,
character development. Yeah, it's crazy to me that we're, like, 400 pages in and we're finally just discovering Gray's secrets, you know, what he has gone through in life and stuff like that.
Well, there's 3 books, so maybe she
just...
Okay.
It's true.
We'll give her that.
There are 3 books.
That's true.
But anyway.
So, hope you all are doing well.
Yes.
By the way, so it's really nice in New Jersey now.
Yes.
We started this, like, when it was still winter.
Yes.
And we had a really rough winter, but the weather has been good to us, and it's like 60 today.
Beautiful.
Trees are blooming.
Yes. Unfortunately for me, because now I have allergies, but
that's true.
But that's okay. I never had allergies until I moved to New Jersey, because there are so many trees.
Yeah.
And I'm from Virginia, and I was talking to my dad a couple days ago, and I was saying how I have allergies, and I'm like, I've never had allergies before. I think it's because there's so many trees here. And he said, oh, like, I really doubt there's more trees in New Jersey than there are in Virginia. I'm like, really, Dad? You want to come to New Jersey? There are so many trees.
There are many, which is why we're the Garden State.
Yeah.
We have
a lot of vegetation.
Exactly. For those of you who don't know New Jersey and only know New Jersey as the Turnpike, or the Sopranos, that is such a false
representation.
It is.
There is a beautiful state. Yes.
Yeah. So.
A lot of trees.
So you have allergies. What else is going on? Do you want to let everyone know that you went on a date?
I guess so. Cat's out of the bag now. Yeah, I went on a date last Saturday, and I'm going on a second date with the same man.
Nice. Yes. Same guy, 2 dates
same
in a row.
Same guy, yes.
Will you guys discuss 50 Shades of Grey?
It came up last.
No.
It came up on the first date.
Did it really?
Yes. I think because I was asked how many books I'm reading right now. Because, so I went on a double date with my roommate Anna and her boyfriend, and her boyfriend's a really good friend, who was my date. And it's like a running joke in my friend circle, just how many books I'm reading at one time. So Anna brought that up, and then I mentioned how I was doing this podcast, and
okay.
So
I really wasn't expecting.
He doesn't know anything about 50 Shades of Grey.
So he doesn't know about the vagina balls?
No. Oh my goodness.
Okay, I'm just making sure, like, he didn't like bring that up.
No, well, I hadn't read these chapters yet, so
that's
didn't
true,
know about vagina balls. Anyway.
Yeah, and you might not know about the vagina balls yet, but we will get into that.
Annie will be handling that part of the discussion.
Not that I know anything about vagina balls.
It just sounds like such an oxymoron.
I know, vagina.
That's why you love it. Annie, how was your weekend and your week?
Good. So, week has been really good because the weather has been really nice, so
yes,
appreciating that.
It's been beautiful.
My mother-in-law's in town this weekend,
yes,
and her husband.
I've been hearing the exchange between you and Brian about that.
I know, I sound so excited, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's always interesting. You know, people never tell you about the family dynamics or the in-laws.
Mm. Yeah.
Component when you're getting married, and it's
probably because they want you to actually get married.
Exactly. Exactly. So I have a mother-in-law who's kind of like a helicopter mom. Mm. You know, her son is, you know, in his 30s, and yet, you know, oh, she brought his report cards from kindergarten all the way up until 8th grade. She brought them for him. Which wow. means that she kept them.
Kindergarten to 8th grade, so even the ones that didn't actually affect his future at all.
Exactly.
That's
so great. That's just a little example of
what it's like in the Hansberger home exactly. right now. Exactly.
I couldn't tell you where one report card of mine is.
Yeah.
Probably. But but there's like this special book that has like his kindergarten picture and then has like his report card and then has like some projects and then it's a binder of his.
That's funny.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's what I'm doing this weekend.
Well, speaking of, you know, parents being yes. or like going to parents or parents coming to you, we left Anna and Christian at his parents' house.
Yes.
In a very precarious situation for Anna.
Yeah. So Anna goes over there to have dinner with the whole Gray family.
Yes.
She's met his mother already yes. once, and his mother is very smitten with her. So she meets his sister and her dad, and also Kate, and what's her boyfriend's name?
Elliot.
What's his name? Elliot.
She met Elliot, too.
She met Elliot, but so all of Which them are good, here at dinner.
The Grays seem pretty intimidating already. I mean, they have this huge mansion. They're right. just hella rich.
Right, right.
And so I think it's good that she had already met the brother and the mother so she could at least have some familiar face. And Kate was there, you know, mm-hmm. so it wasn't just mm-hmm. this whole thing. Like, have you watched Gilmore Girls?
Not really. I watched, like, a couple episodes, but I'm not too familiar.
Oh, well, like, there's one part where Rory's dating this guy named Logan and his family's really rich. And she goes to have dinner with them and they just... They're so rude to her, and so I'm glad that it didn't turn out like that.
Yeah,
with Anna because she already has pretty low self-esteem. So
that's true, and that would have just taken away from all the sex scenes in the book because
I know
the author, I think, just
wants the sex. Yeah,
exactly.
Which okay, so can I just comment? Speaking of the word sex, so they're having it. And on page 349, which is right where we're starting, Anna is turning her, like, she's, I don't know, whatever, and it says, he moves suddenly so that his hand is cupping my sex.
Why does she call it her sex?
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. I was like, her vagina? I was so confused.
She uses it again, and this is the first time I'm picking up on it.
No,
so.
She's used it before.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I skimmed the sex scenes because they just make me uncomfortable. but I just don't. I don't get it, but it's okay.
She's a big girl. Use the word. It's weird.
Use vagina balls. Gosh. Call it what it is. Let's just be honest. So do you want to do like a quick recap?
Yeah. So
basically, what we talked about in the last episode. Was the first ever spanking experience that Anna
That's
had.
Right, 18 slaps.
Yes, on the behind. And then she was very sad, and so Christian came back, and
they probably had sex again.
Yeah, I mean, no, I think if they did, the author definitely would have explicitly told us about it. and then she went back to she went to Christian's house, and she got on the pill.
Oh, yeah.
And then she went over to Christian's parents' house for dinner, where the topic of Jose was brought up.
And he got upset.
He got upset with her, and he tried to cuddle up to her at the table, and she said no, which apparently really turns him on. And that is where we are left. He was dragging her out to the garden shed or something to spank her and then sex her.
Yes.
So that's where we
that's
are.
That's where we left off.
So any comments on that?
Well, Okay, so at this point, he's taking her to the boathouse.
Yes.
So he can punish her.
Yes.
And also, he was upset because that's where he found out that she was going to go to Georgia.
Yes, right.
Okay, so we have Jose, we have Georgia, and we have her saying no to his shenanigans under the table.
Right. Which, if I was meeting a guy's parents for the first time and he was trying to have sexy time with me under the table, I would be like, no, 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 no. Like, I'd be mad. I'd be like, stop it. I'm trying to make a good impression. I do not need to be right. That girl in your parents' mind.
Right.
Anyway.
And I do not like how he makes Jose out to be like this bad guy.
Yeah.
On page 348, he says, I'm mad because you never mentioned Georgia to me. I'm mad because you went drinking with that guy who tried to seduce you when you were drunk and who left you when you were ill with an almost complete stranger. First of all, remember when he tried getting her tipsy? So yeah. Don't play those games.
He didn't try. He succeeded.
That's true. So anyways, he's upset with her. And so her punishment is sex.
Yeah.
And also the fact that he is not allowing her to finish the sexual act with him.
Yes.
Which is not even up for debate in my book. Like, you're crazy if you're telling me that you get to.
Yes.
Like, I understand if it happens naturally. Like, right. Sometimes naturally, most of the time, the guy
like finishes.
And then.
And the girl doesn't experience the same.
Unfortunately. Exactly. But that's not what the relationship is. Like, they usually are on the same page.
Right.
So he's forcing her to not. That's her punishment. I'm just like.
Right. To me, don't have sex with her then. If you don't want, it's just, that's, to me, he's trying to, again, it's just kind of reinforcing the unlevel playing field that they have. You know, he gets to experience the joy and pleasure from the sex. And I mean, it's pleasurable for her, but for her to try and stop, that's like torture a little, you know?
Yeah, it's, no, absolutely.
It's teasing, absolutely. And teasing to the nth degree. It's worse than,
right.
You know, a girl. And, oh, guys say it's horrible for a girl to, you know, start, like, teasing and have foreplay with the guy and then say no.
Exactly.
And it's like, what is this? You know, that's just, that's not cool.
No, that's a little messed up.
And you shouldn't use sex as a way of punishment or anything.
I mean, sex...
It's supposed to be an expression of love and affection, a coming together of the two people. I mean, it's as close as you can physically be with someone.
Exactly.
So it shouldn't be a way. It shouldn't be something that you, even to hold over someone, I don't like. I don't like when women say, oh, I'm not going to have sex with you unless you do this.
Right.
It's no, like, maybe you don't feel like having sex with him at this point because you're mad at him, but
right.
Anyway. Don't use sex as a weapon, people. Gosh.
And on the bottom of 349, she says, I'm trapped. He's everywhere, overwhelming me, almost suffocating me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's heavenly, too. This is my power. This is what I do to him. And it's a hedonistic, triumphant feeling. So there I'm realizing she wants to possess him. Like, she wants to be the person who possesses him, but what she's not realizing is that he's physically possessing her, and she wants to emotionally possess
right.
him. You know what I mean? So, like, they both have issues. You know what I mean? Like, well, obviously. But, like he's trying to physically possess her, and she's trying to seductively possess him.
Mm-hmm. Later on in the chapter, they talk about, she's quoting him, and she says, I am his, you know, and he, you know, he says, oh, I'm the only one that you're with, you know, that's normal, but the way that they're going about it is very unhealthy.
Right, right.
Because they're trying to, again, it just goes back to, the point is that you're freely giving yourself to someone
right.
in a relationship. you're freely allowing yourself to be theirs. Because I have no problem in a relationship saying, yeah, I'm yours.
Yeah.
Because I'm here.
Consume me. Take me. I'm yours. Yes, yeah. I get it.
But they're trying to go about it in a manipulative, controlling way. And that's Christian. That's just what he knows, and that's how he's learned.
Right.
And we find out later that he thinks that that is what he needs to overcome his childhood traumas.
Right.
And with Anna...
Who's the doctor he's speaking to, by the way? Like, he's obviously a quack. That is not
probably
a healthy way.
Like,
yeah. In order for you to overcome being abandoned and not having any control, what you should do is control people. Like,
right. But anyway, we'll talk more about that when we get to it. Oh, and I hate on 350, he says, don't touch yourself. I want you frustrated. That's what you do to me by not talking to me, by denying me what's mine. Okay. Anyway, we can move on. It's just...
Yeah. So, by the way, during dinner, Kate says things to kind of rile up Christian to get, like, under his skin. And Anna says on the bottom of 351... He needs antagonizing. Then you can see what he's really like. Be careful, Anna. He's so controlling, she whispers. See you later. And so Anna says in her mind, I know what he's really like. You don't. I scream at her in my head. And so that just reminds me of so many women who like defend men's actions when your friend is trying to be a good friend and say, like, hey, this is what the situation is.
Definitely.
And so we always... It's in our personalities for some reason to defend.
Well, I think it's that nurturing, caring, loyal instinct in us.
And desiring the good, like seeing the good in the person.
I think, you know, men, they defend physically against physical.
This is my woman, this is my tribe, I will defend.
Yes. Women defend emotionally.
Right.
I mean, men do too. But if, oh my gosh, try and tell a woman that her child did something wrong. And often, I mean, hopefully there are sensible women out there.
Yeah, right.
But it's just so many times, and men do this too, but women, we want to be loyal. We want to protect.
Absolutely.
Anytime there's like an emotional attack against someone that we care about, we just want to, I think we want to keep them from having to be accountable for what they are doing.
Right.
You know.
So Anna decides that she is going to Georgia to be with her mom and spend some time with her.
Mm-hmm.
So she pretty much gets ready and she's off on a plane. Oh, but Christian offers for her to use his private jet.
Mm-hmm. Well, he asks also, he says, can I come with you?
Yeah.
And she says, I don't think that's a good idea because she wants time away so that she, which is very smart because anytime you're in a relationship, when it's first starting, there's so many emotions and just chemical reactions and just, you know, you feel so great, but that clouds your judgment so, so much. So I think, and especially with just how the nature of the relationship, it's good for her to want to get away, to just clear her head and think about all this. So then...
So the last night before she goes away, they spend the night together.
Oh, no. Are you talking about vagina balls now?
No, no, not yet.
Okay.
So she says, I want you to spend the night with me. And he, you know, says yes.
Mm.
And... Okay, so here we see on page 357 that Gray is the one who's actually asking for vanilla sex, right? So we're always thinking, so here we start to see him starting to be more human, in a sense, when it comes to
their... more natural, in a sense, because when you really think about it, adding all of this stuff isn't natural, because... In nature, you just have
cavemen didn't have vagina balls.
No. I mean, maybe after they invented the wheel, that was the next thing. But, no, yeah, so in a sense, it's him just kind of getting, and I've said this before, but there's something that guards against intimacy when you put all of these whips and chains and you throw all this stuff into it, even with role-playing and stuff like that, you're kind of putting a wall up against intimacy because there's something there with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's something to hide behind. And when you just have just sex, you know, it's just you and the other person.
Right, right. So here he's saying, okay, let's do vanilla sex. But then she even pushes it a bit further and she says, I want to make love to you.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first time that we're even hearing this. And then she says, I want to touch you
on
the bottom of 358. And so
yeah,
he says, like, no. And then he actually starts getting, like, annoyed. And he actually just wants to drop it. And so for Christian Grey to drop having sex, that means that she must have really struck a chord.
Yeah. Well, for any man to just drop having
sex. Exactly. Like, I know when I've overdone it with my husband and he's like, let's just go to bed. I'm just like, I just stare at him for a good 5 minutes, like, as he's... And I'm like, really? Oh, man, I really
You're
do
like,
it now.
Crap. So they talk about that.
Oh, so this is when they have the negotiation. Mm-hmm. So I think she wants him to open up some more. She's really pushing him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. I mean, yeah. You're giving him your body. You should know him.
Yeah.
So she negotiates with him.
So she's negotiating.
And so she says, if you tell me more, then you can put me over your knee and spank me. That's so weird. Ew, I couldn't imagine saying that to Brian. Like,
for me,
I'll let you spank.
Yeah.
Ew, don't touch me.
For me, negotiating is like, okay, if you do this, then I'll go see that movie with you.
Right.
But hey, this works too. So then...
So the vagina balls come into play. So Gray's up...
Sometimes I was thinking. Anyway.
So he ups it up a notch. And so instead of just spanking her, he goes and gets these vagina balls. And so...
Oh, gosh.
I think you guys understand just by us calling them vagina balls what that means. Yeah. So the vagina balls go in... And then he spanks her.
But nicely.
Yeah, nicely.
It's not a punishment. It's for pleasure.
Exactly.
So it doesn't hurt her.
Right. And so the vagina ball experience happens.
Yes.
And then she's ready to get some answers.
Mm-hmm. So then she asks about his mom. And we find out that she died when he was 4. And that, I don't know if we find out here, but she was addicted to drugs, right?
Yep.
Yes. So now we know why Gray was adopted, because he was orphaned at the age of 4. And we also know that he was at least not adopted until after he was 4, which is important because developmentally... Those years are really important for the children developmentally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it also tells us that he does remember his life before, you know.
Right,
so that's very big, because if, you know, your mother dies when you're 1 and you're adopted, that you can often just not remember anything.
Right.
And move on from that. But so we know that he is very affected by this.
Absolutely. So they... go to bed. The next morning, he's working at the desk. There's Miss Johnson, or what's her name? The housekeeper.
Miss Jones.
She's a blonde, too. I hope that's explained. What is with that? That's so weird. Anyways, so she goes over to mm-hmm. him, and they end up having sex on the desk.
Mm-hmm.
And we see a very aggressive side to Anna.
Yes.
Like, she's... Oh, like, she almost, like, wants to be, like, ravaged in a sense. Like, she's very aggressive. And it seems like that's not really what he's, like, attracted to. Yeah. Like, the whole point of him being attracted to her in the beginning was that he thought that she was a submissive. But here, right. you see her being very dominant. So I wonder if that played a role in the awkwardness that yeah. happened afterwards.
Yes, that was so awkward after when it was just, they were just out of sync. And, yeah, I don't know.
I wonder if that will. Maybe. So.
But I think it's, you know, I definitely think it's normal for Anna to. I don't know if it's normal for them to want sex as often as they do, because...
It was not normal for me.
If it were me, I would be just so
it's
exhausted.
It's not normal. I don't care what anyone says. I'm a woman who has needs and desires and,
okay.
and
I think
has
it's
a
normal
drive.
For her to want sex that, you know, or if... Okay, if they hadn't just had sex the night before, I think it would have been fine for her to just go in and be like, yeah, I want sex right now. Because, you know, you get into moods and you want it. But,
yes, I'm very much attracted to my husband. He is gorgeous, mm-hmm. tall, dark, and handsome.
All right. He's also my boss.
He is beautiful. Still, Don't. If we had sex last night, relax. I don't need. Don't touch me in the morning. Don't
my
touch
needs
me.
Are met. All right. Thank you.
Like my goodness. I just that's.
It's like when you've just had a really big meal. You are not thinking about dessert.
And I almost wonder if other women feel like they need to be this way. Like the 100 million of you who read this book. Like, did you read this and think like,
I do not have sex enough.
Yeah. I mean. Us in general, I do feel like we don't have sex enough. Like, we tend to, like, I don't know, it's really sad. Like, some women who are married don't, like once a month type things. I'm like, that's not healthy either. There's a healthy balance.
Right. It's a needed part of your relationship.
Yes.
So it's just, like, talking. You wouldn't, you know, it's just, it's like an aspect of your relationship.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I do, I think that, but it's a bit excessive.
Yes, and unrealistic. So I just don't want women out there who have read this book to, like, think that this is normal.
You
or if they're not doing this,
times
that
day.
Something's wrong with their sex drive. No, nothing's wrong with your sex drive. Yeah. This is a fantasy book, which means not real.
And it's funny because it's supposed to be a fantasy for women, but I don't know what woman
no,
wants
this
to be
is
interrupted
a, this
that
is like labor camp. Like, this is too labor intensive.
She does not need a personal trainer. She gets worked out enough. But anyway.
So, do we want to talk about her awkward interview?
And we can just say that it was awkward.
All right, it was.
So she goes in the interviews, and then she comes back, and she... is talking with Kate, and she's, I want to address Anna's emotional state, because she's very insecure emotionally with mm-hmm. her relationship with Christian, and I can understand this, because I think women really feel it when it's, you get the intimacy without the commitment aspect of it, you know, you feel just very, because I've had that experience where I knew the guy liked me. I knew that he wanted to be with me, but he just, like, couldn't commit to me. And so I just started feeling so very insecure about the fact that he liked me. And so even though he would tell me, you know, I love you, I care about you, blah, 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 I was still like, well, but... So I totally understand where Anna's coming from here, because, yeah, she's getting the commitment, but she's not getting the intimacy. He's not letting her in. He's not letting her know him. So I think that speaks to, we really do need both sides of the coin in relationships.
Oh, absolutely.
To feel healthy and secure. Because insecurity is a sign of unhealthiness.
Mm-hmm.
So she's talking with Kate, and, you know, Kate says, Anna, anyone can see that he's fallen for you. He's mad about you. He won't take his eyes off you. I laugh uncertainly. Do you think so? Hasn't he told you? Not in so many words. Have you told him? Not in so many words. I shrug apologetically. Anna, someone has to make the first move. Otherwise, you'll never get anywhere. I do agree with that. Anna needs to tell him, hey, dude, I don't feel secure in this relationship.
Right.
And she, I think her prompting him to open up, that is showing it.
Right.
But I think you've told me this, Annie. Men need to be told, like, flat out, what you are thinking, how you are feeling, what you want. You can't just hint at it and expect them to get it because, bless their hearts,
they're not built that way.
They just, they're, and it's like her mom is saying later, take him literally. And it's, right. It's so true. It's like, yes, men, we think because we figure out, like, special ways to phrase things that are basically, like, encoded, and you need a cipher to understand what we're talking about, which, as when we're talking to women, we get it, because we, like, we have the code, you know?
Someone explained it to me like this. Okay, so a man's sex parts are on the outside, right? So they're there, there's no mystery in it, they're right there. Right, okay. But the women's sexual organs—they're inside of us. So there's that just adds to our mystery. Like, we're mysterious beings. Like,
yeah, you have to kind of delve in to really understand it. Whereas with men,
it's always—it's right.
Yeah,
it's right there, front and center.
It's so true. Yeah. They really do just say what they're thinking, and if they say they're not thinking anything, it's probably true. But anyway, so then, you know, she's kind of debating in her head whether or not Christian really is afraid of the feelings that he has for her, which, yeah, he is probably afraid. He's probably freaked out. He's never had this intimacy before. And I think we are a generation who just cannot make commitments. Mm-hmm. So I think for us, the idea of someone being afraid of commitment is totally understandable. But we lose, because we'll just be intimate with anyone. So we lose this understanding that intimacy is a big deal.
Right.
You know, it's, you are giving yourself to someone, entrusting yourself to someone, and, like, trusting them to take care of you. And humans are so flawed. And when you've had experiences like Christian, where you've experienced the shortcomings of humanity to a very high degree, it's very difficult to trust someone with yourself.
Absolutely.
So,
good point.
I see where he's coming from with that. Yeah, my psychology degree that I didn't get.
So
she emails him.
Do you want to talk about the emails, or do you want to talk about her getting to Georgia?
We'll just skim the emails. Okay. Basically, she's talking about how he was weird after, and we never really get an explanation.
Never answers, exactly. Yeah. He explains, but it's just some crappy explanation. And I even remember writing notes. I'm like,
crappy explanation.
Yeah. I was like,
he's not good with explanations. No. At least they don't ever satisfy you any.
But no, I don't.
He did say that none of his subs work for him. So I don't think that your theory of the pigtailed blonde at his parents' house was one of his ex subs.
Well, technically didn't work for him.
All right.
Just saying.
And then, so on chapter 22 in the email, oh, she gets upgraded to first class by Christian, and she emails him and she says, "Your stocking knows no bounds. Let's hope Dr. Flynn is back from vacation." I don't like that she is joking about this, because funny. Stocking's not funny. It's really not funny.
No matter how hot the guy is, why does he?
I know.
Okay, so guys say this all the time. Okay. Hot women, you have to look into their eyes, because if they have crazy eyes, you need to back away slowly. And so they always say, don't get involved with an attractive woman with crazy eyes.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like we have to think the same way. Okay, so guys are smart in this regard. Okay, mm-hmm. So a woman, attractive woman, has crazy eyes, back away slowly. Mm-hmm. Don't do
it. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it, because they realize the repercussions that come with crazy-eyed women.
Right, single white female.
Yeah, exactly. But women, what we do, and is built into who we are as women, and it's a beautiful thing until we find ourselves in situations like this, where we see a human being who's flawed, and we can fix that, or we are going to be that person who they change for. No, stalkerish behavior is bad, and we should be backing away slowly.
Right. And
or fast. Run away.
Yeah.
Turn around and run.
Don't look him in the eye. Just keep your head down and just back away. And I wanna point out here that I'm not even mad at Christian for his behavior, because I get why he is the way that he is, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean it's okay for him to be the way that he is.
Right.
So for if I were in Anna's shoes and I was having a relationship with a man who was not treating me the way that he should be treating me, but I knew that he
but
cared.
But treating you the best out of all right. the women he's been with, well, which isn't this good standard.
Right, right. He's treating me better than he's treated women before. And if I truly believed that he was treating me to the best of his ability, which I think Christian, in his mind,
yeah.
these are nice things.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird, but like it's nice. I understand that he wants to pamper her. He wants to make her feel like a princess, whatever. I don't know. Insert adjective or noun here. But if I was in this situation, I think what I would do is to try and be as objective as possible, taking the fact that I cared about him away from the picture and think, okay, I do care about him, so what is best for him? And sometimes the best thing for someone is to say, I care about you, but we need to be apart. You need to work on this stuff. I'm not saying that I'm like giving up on you, but you need to, this is not good. These are not standards that I will accept. And I'll be here to support you, but not in a relationship
right.
while you are trying to work through these things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you want to be with me, this is what it's going to take. And I think for Anna, the thing that you have to be ready to accept is that he may say no.
Right.
And he may walk away, and you have to accept that. But I think as women, we sometimes forget, it's sometimes more loving to put more boundaries up.
Right.
And we think, oh, no, we just need to pull them close and hug them and kiss them and say it's going to be okay. And it's like, no, you can't make it okay.
Right.
Sometimes it's not going to be okay if all you're doing is living in a fantasy
right.
that you are going to make everything better.
Right.
So, yeah. So then she emails him antagonizing him. And he responds with this. Next time, you'll be in the cargo hold, bound and gagged in a crate. Believe me when I say that attending to you in that state will give me so much more pleasure than merely upgrading your ticket.
Mm-hmm. So at that point, I'm dropping some F-bombs. I'm like, you need to, that's too much. And she does react that way. She's just like.
What crazy-ish is that?
And I don't care how attractive you are. Why do we, but we do this. Like,
I know. Well, oh. And then later he's like, yes, it was a joke. Obviously, it was a bad one.
Yeah.
Do not joke about tying me up and putting me in a crate like I'm some, like a sex slave being, you know, transferred from one. Really, that's what they do to them, those poor women. Anyway.
Ay. So
she gets to Georgia.
We get to meet her mom and what's her mom's husband's name? John?
Bob,
sorry. Y'all, all those Johns and Bobs. It's awesome. So
one thing I highlighted on page 397 is Anna's at the beach with her mom, and she says, as I soak up the sun, I feel comfortable, safe, and warm. For the first time in forever, I start to relax. I'm like, you should feel comfortable, safe, and warm with your boyfriend.
Right.
It's okay to be excited, too. It's okay to be a little, you know, when relationships first start, there's that fun, like, nervous anxiety, like, a little anxiety of, like, oh, like, I get to see him, like, I hope I look good, you know. But you should feel very good.
Right.
You should feel very content.
Yeah, that was a really sad point. So thanks for bringing that up.
And then, this is really sad, too. On the next page, her mom is talking to her, and she's saying, you know, honey, men aren't complicated, just take them literally. And then Anna's thinking, I gaze at my mom. She is on her fourth marriage. Maybe she does know something about men after all. I'm like, sweetie, the fact that she's on her
fourth. That's how I took it, too. I was like, if she's on her fourth marriage, this chick does not know a damn thing.
Maybe she knows about getting men, but she doesn't know about, like, maintaining healthy relationships.
But then we realized, like, okay, so then I broke it down. I was like, okay, she's on her fourth marriage, but let's... So we find out that her father died.
Mm-hmm. So that's her first husband died.
So, okay, that wasn't her fault. Mm-hmm. Number two was...
Ray. I don't know what happened there, but...
Don't know what happened.
He seems like a great guy, but I guess maybe it just fizzled out.
And then there was a third one, and yeah, now there's Bob.
Which I don't think was that great.
Right. Okay, so, she doesn't know what she's talking about. But she does give the advice that's good.
Yeah, no, the advice she's giving her is good. Oh, my gosh. And then Gray, in that long, long email that he sends her on page 400.
Oh, yeah.
He says, too long. I find the thought of instilling fear in you abhorrent. Then why do you like making her feel pain? And then he says, obviously, like the gagging part was a joke. And then he says, I can lose the crate. Crates do nothing for me. I know you have issues with gagging. We've talked about that. And if and when I do gag you, we'll discuss it. I'm kind of...
The word gag, first of all, I know. Just is a... Well, you know those words that you just hate?
Yeah.
That's just a word that
like
I hate.
Like panties. Sorry. Anyway. So my issue with this is he's saying, oh, I can lose the crate. Crates do nothing for me. So he's like, yeah, don't worry. That's not even part of the fantasy. I do want to gag you, though. So, like, we're going to have to work on that. To me, I'm like... No, if there's anything that makes your partner feel uncomfortable, you should say, okay, like, yeah, I want this, but I'm going to give it up for you. You know, you shouldn't be, okay, we'll talk about that. Maybe you'll get more comfortable with it, you know, blah, blah, blah.
I'm convinced, I don't know, maybe you out there who's listening, you can tell me if I'm wrong. Do we recognize that we don't want this? Like, do we read these types of books and say, like, okay, it's an escape from reality. This isn't reality. I obviously don't want this. Or are we really fooled? Like, Katie, do you think that we're really fooled into thinking that this is what we want? Okay, so a question. Like, okay, would I trade in my life for Anna's life? No. I personally...
I would not.
But maybe some of you out there would.
Well, I think coming at this from a literary standpoint, I think that in order to write a good book, you don't always have to have the main character be in a state that readers would admire. You know? I mean, look at Wuthering Heights. I would not trade lives with one of those people.
Right.
You know, and yet it is a good work of literature.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you do bring up a good point. Because when we read, when we hear stories, when we see movies, when we read books, a part of it is to say, oh, I want to insert myself into this for a time. But I would not want to insert myself into this scenario for anything. Maybe I would want to be Mia, his sister.
Like, he's up in Paris. And
yeah, like, but that's it. I mean, right. But I'm also pretty content with my life. But it's funny that you said that his email is too long, because then Anna's email, her subject title is verbose, which means containing too many words. Right. So she gets it. She's like, yeah, that's very loquacious of you.
Right. So in their emailing back and forth, Anastasia finds out that he goes out to dinner with a friend. Mm-hmm. And so she inquires about that. And so she says, you know, who'd you go out to dinner with? And
it's her.
It's Mrs. Robinson. What's her real name? Is it really?
We don't know. I don't think.
Okay, that's right. So it's Mrs. Robinson, and so this upsets her, and I would be flipping.
She's pissed.
I'd be lit. I can't even talk. Like, I would destroy someone. So I understand how angry, like how upsetting that is. Like, why are you going out to dinner with someone who raped you? And granted, you don't see it as rape, but that is weird. I want that part of your life to be over and done with. You're gagging and spanking me. Why isn't that enough? Why do you need to, like, ew?
Yeah.
But he sees it as we find out
when
they have a discussion. That
right.
Which, he sees her. Well, we could talk about that.
So she gets very upset, and then at one point in the emailing, she says, I wish you were here, and so he makes that happen, and he shows up when she and her mom are at a bar.
Yes.
And so then they, you know, they kind of get into it a little bit at the bar, and then he leaves, and her mom tells her to go talk to him.
Right.
So she goes up to his hotel room. So we find out that in Gray's mind, if he had not had that relationship with Mrs. Robinson, he thinks that he would have ended up like his mother. So apparently he was on some kind of self-destructive path.
Right.
And having this relationship of, you know, dominant and submissive, mm-hmm. just everything is structured and controlled and, you know, everything like that, that it's helping him to cope with his early years of...
Yeah. And they do say that it is, in the psychology world, they do say that if you are involved in an activity that is not healthy for you, it is good to find another healthy, a different healthy activity mm-hmm. that you can become obsessed with just to avoid the unhealthy mm-hmm. behavior. Now, I think he should have gotten involved in, like, sports.
Right. Or, like, writing or something constructive.
Yeah, but, you know, an S&M relationship.
Well, so it puts it in a new light for us to understand why he was so susceptible to this kind of relationship.
Right.
Because he was looking for something. And then this older woman comes who was married at the time, and it ruined her marriage, apparently. So that sucks. But what do you expect when you have an affair with a 15-year-old? So, yeah, I feel for Anna and for Christian because I'm confused reading this. I'm just like, oh my good Lord, how does this make the situation better? How?
Right.
I don't even, like, if I were Anna, I wouldn't even know how to respond to that because to me, he's in such a state of delusion.
And this is not who you need to be in a relationship with at the moment. Obviously, this person needs a lot of help. So Anna ends up asking him on 4/23, did you love her? Now, mm-hmm. this is so unrealistic because of course he loved her.
Right.
Anyone who grew up the way that he did without having that mother-like person in her life, not having that intimacy.
He would form an attachment
mm-hmm. and for sure would have fallen in love with his dominant.
Although, looking into like the psychology aspect of it, his like attachment style would probably be anxious avoidant growing up how he did.
Mm-hmm.
So, which makes sense because he puts up walls.
Right.
So, could it be possible that he just literally put up so many walls that he could not?
No, he had to. So the author says that no, he didn't, but he would have loved her because she was the one who was teaching him how to.
True.
You know?
He would fall in love with her for that reason.
Exactly.
And it wouldn't be a healthy love, but, and I think that explains why he has such a hard time not having her be in his life now. So there's that, so then we also find out that the scars on his chest are not from the chicken pox.
Didn't I call that?
Yes.
Did I say that right?
Yes.
I mean,
we don't find out exactly what it is though.
Yeah, but they're cigarette burns.
So,
which is why he doesn't like to be touched.
Right. So then, basically, it ends with them. They just had sex, and they're just in bed, and they're just talking, which is nice.
I'm just showing Katie my notes on page 430.
Nope.
I'm not gonna go over it right now with you guys. Page 430.
Actually, she's on her period.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. Oh.
Well, I wasn't even gonna talk about it. I was just showing Katie my notes. And I write across the page, nope, with huge exclamation marks.
No period sex.
No. I said men are grossed out by tampons. It is a truth. They are. They're not grossed out about period sex. Believe it or not, they're actually not. But they are grossed out by tampons. Ew. And so am I.
Okay. On that note, it's been great talking with you guys. We will.
We really enjoyed it. And guess what? I think Katie and I are going to get a Twitter page.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I'm actually just telling her this.
News to me, but okay.
So you guys can follow us after the podcast is done. If you like what we have to say and if you like what we have to
maybe, I don't know. Anyway.
So we're going to be new to it, and maybe you guys can help us out. You can follow us. We'll let you know in the next episode about it. So
until then,
a good one.
Have a great week. Bye.